Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Good morning and welcome to The Flatline. I'm your host, Rick Hughes, and for the next few minutes, stick around. 30 minutes of motivation, some inspiration, some education, and always done without any type of manipulation. Which means we don't play games, we're not trying to hustle money, join people up, give up anything, nothing like that. We simply want to give you some information. Information about how you can verify and identify the plan of God for your life, and if you do that, you can orient and adjust to the plan, if you want to. It's your life, your decision, you have to make that choice. You got one shot at it, so don't blow it. And I appreciate you listening. Flatline is all about the 10 unique problem-solving devices that God has in His Word, something my pastor taught me years ago. And if you learn these 10 problem-solving devices, they act like a main line of resistance in your soul. And actually, they can stop the outside pressures of adversity from ever becoming the inside source of stress. That's why we always say adversity is inevitable and stress is optional. Learning the Word of God gives you the opportunity to have a life like the Lord Jesus Christ. A life free of worry, a life free of bitterness, a life free of stress, a wonderful way to live. And we have a lot of material we can offer you that will help you with that. A lot of our books we've written, we've redone a lot of our books, and they're all free. You can go to the website and see them at rickhughesministries.org, rickhughesministries.org. And anything there you can order freely, and we'll be glad to send it out to you. You can also listen to the radio shows there or even on our podcast. You can go to Spotify. You can go to Apple iPod. You can go to Anchor and type in The Flatline and hear The Flatline shows anywhere, anytime, any day, all across the world. So thank you for listening. What do we want to talk about today? We want to talk about being discouraged and being disappointed. Especially after the midterm election, so many people got discouraged and disappointed. Because it's whoever they wanted didn't get it. And so now we got people all upset. Let's listen to what the Word of God has to say about this. In Jeremiah 29:11, here's what God said. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for evil. Plans to give you a future and a hope. So God's plan is not to discourage you. God's plan is not to disappoint you. God's plan is to give you this amazing, fantastic, wonderful life. Wrapped through the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Word of God, which gives you the sustainable power to deal with things that you don't like. But in times of national confusion, times of chaos, this is a good verse to help you remember that God has a plan both for our personal lives individually and for the influence of this nation. Personally, you might be discouraged due to some political situation, and I assume you're a loyal patriot. You love your country, and your eyes, like mine, moist up when we hear our national anthem sung at different events. I mean, it's natural to feel emotional about things you care for, but remember this. The mature believer does not operate on emotions. You don't operate on emotions. Emotions are what you feel, and God said, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. Operate on what you think. As a man thinketh in his soul, so he is, Proverbs says. So God's not interested in you operating on your emotions. He wants you to operate on thought, clear, lucid thought. And that's what we're talking about. So remember this. Joshua 1:9, this is what God told Joshua about emotions. Have I not commanded you to be strong and be courageous? Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed. That's discouraged. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you will go. And this was given after Moses died and they had to go into the promised land and Joshua was elected the new leader. And they had to go to the Battle of Jericho. You might have heard Joshua at the Battle of Jericho. And so God told him, don't be discouraged. Don't be frightened. If you add to that verse a verse in the New Testament in 1 Peter 5:7, cast all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. That means cast all your frustrations, all your fears, everything on the Lord because he cares for you. That's called the faith rest drill, problem-solving device number 3 in the protocol plan of God. So if you learn a faith rest drill, claim one of those 7,000 promises in the Bible, then you can continue to have a relaxed mental attitude and let the Lord handle the difficulties. So that verse in 1 Peter 5:7 combined with Joshua 1:9 brings us back to Proverbs 3:5 through 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean to your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths. So here's key to this. Trust God, because He knows what He's doing. Remember Jeremiah 29:11, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans are for welfare and not for evil. Trust the Lord. Don't lean on your own understanding. You may think things are going haywire. You may think things are wrong. Maybe it never dawned on you that the Lord Jesus Christ controls history and God's in charge. He's not asleep. The Supreme Court of Heaven is open 24 hours a day and nobody's getting away with anything. So in all of your ways, acknowledge Him and He will make your path straight. Notice the mandate is to cast your anxieties on Him. Cast is a verb. The verb epripto means to throw or place upon Him. Cast all your cares on Him, your anxieties. That's a feminine noun, and it's a merimna, and it means those things that cause you to be anxious or those things that cause you to be concerned. So cast any anxieties on Him, things that cause you to be anxious. Because why? He cares for you. That's a divine promise from God. And what that simply means is that God only has your best interest at heart. If you don't think so, go back to the opening verse that I gave you to start with. I know the plans I have for you, Jeremiah 29:11. Not for evil, but to give you a future and a hope. So remember that. I know the plans I have for you. God has plans for you. And God has plans for our client nation. Do you believe that? And can you trust that the Supreme Court of Heaven is judging our future? Can you do that? Can you trust in the Lord? Proverbs 3:5 through 6. Can you trust in the Lord? It's critical that you do that. It's critical that you remember that. Proverbs 3:5 through 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And do not lean to your own understanding. Acknowledge Him, and that requires you to use the faith rest drill. And that's the key to having a relaxed mental attitude. The faith rest drill. Problem-solving device number 3. Do you know what it is? Do you even know any of the 10 problem-solving devices? If you don't, please contact me. I can send you a book called Christian Problem Solving that'll lay all 10 of them out. I can send you a bookmark. It'll have all 10 problem-solving devices on it. But you must understand these 10 problem-solving devices if you intend to live a successful Christian life. You can't do it without them. Because without them, you'll be trying to function on human energy and human resources, and it doesn't work. So, trust in the Lord, Proverbs 3:5 through 6. Don't lean to your own understanding. Acknowledge Him, and that requires you to use the faith rest drill. And that's the key to keeping that relaxed mental attitude. What is a relaxed mental attitude? Well, very plainly, Isaiah 26:3, you keep Him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. You keep him in perfect peace, whose mind, that's your thoughts, your intents, your desires, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. That's faith. Faith rest drill. So the perfect peace that we're talking about comes when you concentrate on the plan of God and trust God that he's in control. He knows the plans he has for you, and they're not to hurt you, not to harm you, but to give you a wonderful life. So sit back. Enjoy the show. Isaiah 40, verse 31, but they who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. They shall do what? They shall mount up with wings like eagles and shall run and never be weary and walk and not faint. Amazing promise for you. In regards to current politics in America, do you think God knows what's even going on? Do you think he's not in control of coming events? Our job as Christians is simply to obey the Lord. Romans 12:12, rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, and be constant in prayer. Rejoice in hope. That word hope, what does that mean? I'll explain it here in a minute. Rejoice in hope, that's the first mandate. And be patient in tribulation, that's the second mandate. And then what? Be constant in prayer. That's the third mandate. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. That's essentially what your Christian life is made out of. So what does that mean? Rejoice in hope. Hope is the word elpis, E-L-P-I-S. And it simply means absolute confidence in the plan of God. For example, in the Bible in Colossians 1:27, Christ in you is the hope of glory. Christ in you is not a hope, it's a confidence. This is not a hope like what you and I say, I hope it doesn't rain tomorrow, or I hope I get a check in the mail. That's not it. This hope is a different type of hope. This is a confidence. This is a confidence in God's plan for your life. So remember that. Christ in you, that's your confidence, the hope of glory. All right? So hope is the assurance and the comfort in relation to things that are future, things that are going to come. It's a mental attitude of confident expectation towards something magnificent, but something that's not yet even present. Hope is the assurance and the comfort in relation to things that are future. A mental attitude of confident expectation towards something magnificent, but it may not yet be present. That's what hope is. It is that confident assurance. So there are basically three types of hope taught in the Bible. Hope one is the confident expectation of the unbeliever who knows that when he makes a decision to believe in Jesus Christ, he will have eternal life. Because the Bible says, these things are written that you might know that you have eternal life. He that has the Son has life, and he that has not the Son of God has not life. So God doesn't lie. When you come to the cross, when you put your faith in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross, you are saved. You are given eternal life, and he doesn't take it back. Christ said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I give unto them eternal life, and no one shall pluck them out of my Father's hand. That is the most amazing, fulfilling promise in the whole world, that once you receive Christ as your Savior, no one can ever take away your eternal life that God gives you through faith alone in Christ alone. So that's the first hope. Hope one, confident expectation that when we believe in Christ, we have eternal life. And then there's hope two. What is that? Hope two is the motivation of the immature believer who's trying to grow. Maybe that's you, trying to grow up spiritually. Maybe you've been listening to these radio shows and you realize you need to grow spiritually. You need to be under the ministry of a well-qualified pastor teaching you the Bible so you can apply it into your life. Hope, too, is that motivation of the immature believer who realizes, who knows, who trusts that if he keeps learning, if he persists in studying and applying God's Word, he will be allowed to reach spiritual maturity and glorify the Lord Jesus Christ in his life to the maximum. That's why the Bible tells you to redeem the time. Redeem the time. Don't waste time. You only got so much time. And redeeming the time, what you do when you redeem the time is you're buying days. God is going to let you stick around until you reach maturity if you're serious about this. Now, if you're not, if you just want to play tiddlywinks with God, take your best shot because no guarantees. But if you want to live a full, wonderful life, the Bible tells you how to do it. Grow in the grace and knowledge of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So that's the second hope, the hope that you will reach maturity and you will be able to glorify God as God promised you. And then hope three, that's the attitude of the mature believer who now looks beyond the barrier of time into heaven, into his eternal rewards. And this is a confident expectation again, not a hope. It's a confident expectation. Matthew 25:21. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. That's exactly what you want to hear. You don't want to hear, oh, hey, Fred, you made it. Good job. Have a seat over there. I'll get to you in 1,000 years. No. You want some applause to be in heaven when you walk in. You want to hear that, well done, my good and faithful servant. Good and faithful servant. Two qualities that are essential. Good, that's divine good, not human good. Faithful, that's the faith rest drill. That's fidelity in your life. That's being faithful and servant. That's the word doulos. That's the servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. So you were faithful over the few things while you're on earth. Now I'm going to make you ruler over many things in heaven. Come on in, enjoy the ride. That's hope three, that you will have a wonderful eternal life based on the confidence of what God had. In Romans 12:12, we have the commandment to this, to be patient in tribulation. What does that verse say that we looked at? Rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, and be constant in prayer. Be consistent in prayer. Stick with it. So, patient in tribulation. The word patience used here is hupomeno, H-U-P-O-M-E-N-O. Now you say, why do you say those words? That's the Greek New Testament word. We're looking at it from the English, but we're translating it back into the Greek. Hupomeno is the word patient, but actually it's the word tribulation in the Greek language. Tribulation. It means for you to be patient in circumstances that are beyond your control, or to abide under or remain in place. In other words, don't let the adverse circumstances discourage you or dislodge you or defeat you. And that's what happens. When bad things hit into your life, if you don't use the flat line in your soul, if you don't use those problem-solving devices, you lose your patience. You get knocked off your feet. You're not able to stand securely. That's why the Bible tells you to put on the armor of God so that you can stand against the strategy of Satan. He has a strategy, and that strategy is to defeat you spiritually and discourage you, and actually to consume your life so that you don't have any impact for the Lord Jesus Christ. Hupomeno means patience in tribulation. Patience with people is another word in the Greek Bible. We have the word hupomeno, meaning patient in circumstances, but there's also the word patience with people. And that's the Greek word makrothumia. Makrothumia. It's not the same word. And that means for you to be patient with regards to people or circumstances in your life. And then finally the word anoche. A-N-O-C-H-E. And that's better translated to hold back or to be restrained in the face of provocation. And in Romans 2:4, Paul uses forbearance and long-suffering and anoche and makrothumia. Here it is. Listen to it. Romans 2:4. Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance? That's anoche. That's the word anoche. It means he holds back. And his long-suffering, makrothumia. Do you not know that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? So God is holding back. He's not willing that any should perish, not even one. He's very patient. He's very long-suffering. He's very enduring, wanting all of us to come to the knowledge of salvation through faith alone in Christ alone. In 2 Peter 3:9, God is patient with the unbeliever, the Bible says, not wanting anybody to perish. So we're told to be patient in tribulation in Romans 12:12. Be patient in tribulation. Thlipsis is the word tribulation. And it means pressing circumstances, being pressed under circumstances, burdened on your spirit. It could be politics, it could be adversity in family matters, it could be any amount of circumstances, financial circumstances. How does the believer handle this? He is to be what? Hupomeno. He's to be patient. He's to use the faithless drill. He's to remain in place. He's not to let his emotions take over, not to get sidetracked, not to get discouraged, not to be defeated, not to be dislodged. Be patient in tribulation. What does that mean? It means that you keep moving on day by day. You keep your eyes on the Lord. You keep your eyes on the objective and move forward. Listen to Proverbs 24:10. If you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. You're going to have days of adversity. You're going to have times that you don't understand. You're going to go through conflicts and chaos and confusion, even as we're going through it in this nation today. How do you deal with it? You are patient. You turn it over to the Lord, you use a faith rest drill, you keep your relaxed mental attitude, and above all, don't lose your sense of humor. Because if you start taking yourself too serious, you're going to burn out, I promise you. This is why it's so critical for you to have a flot line in your soul. You must have a flot line in your soul. It's critical that you have that flot line in your soul, because if you don't, Proverbs 24:10 is talking about you. If you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. That means you wimp out. You can't handle it. You move rather from thinking. You're not thinking now, and you move from thinking to emoting. If you let your emotions take over, you're going to react to circumstances. If you think, you're going to respond to circumstances. So let's say something bad happens. You can get mad, angry, bitter, frustrated, upset about the tribulation, or you can relax, keep an RMA. Know that God had it in eternity past. God knew it was going to happen to you. You have nothing, no sweat, nothing to worry about it. Just enjoy the ride and watch what the Lord's about to do. That's why you have a flot line in your soul, and that's why it's so critical. It's critical that you have that. And that's why Romans 12:12 goes on to say these words, be constant in your prayers. This is the apostles' encouragement for believers in Rome regarding their lives and their future, as well as a reminder for each of us that there is power in prayer, tremendous power in prayer. In our case, as believers in a client nation called the United States of America, we have this mandate to encourage us. 1 Timothy 2:1-4. Therefore I exhort, first of all, that all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. For all men. Listen to what I'm about to read now. For kings and for all who are in authority, so that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, I don't know if you just heard what I read to you, but listen again. I exhort, first of all, that prayers and supplications and intercessions and thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority. You mean I'm supposed to pray for the president? I'm supposed to pray for the leader of the Senate? I'm supposed to pray for what? I don't like those people. I don't like them at all. I'm not going to pray for them. Well, then you don't quite understand the Christian life yet, do you? Here it is, right in front of your nose. What are you going to do with it? I encourage you that all prayers, supplications, intercession, giving of thanks be made for all men, kings, and all who are in authority. Don't forget, God's in control. He knows what's going on. Some people are placed in certain places for a reason. So if you link that verse up I just gave you to Romans 12:19, listen to this. This will stop you in your tracks. Romans 12:19, beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it's written, vengeance is mine, God said. I will repay, says the Lord. God didn't put you in charge of straightening anybody out. You have a hard time keeping your own life straight. So you're going to straighten out the politics of this country? I don't think so. You don't like so-and-so, so-and-so? Okay, I understand that. What are you supposed to do about it? Keep your mouth shut. Pray for all men. Thanksgiving be made for all men, for kings and those that are in authority. Pray for supplications, intercession. What do you pray? Well, you pray that God would reveal his plan to them so that they would understand it and follow it. If you're bitter about recent events in American politics, and many people are, what have you done about it? Oh, I know, you complained to your friends, you wrote letters to the authorities, you judged and maligned the officials you don't like. Well, what about just simply taking the matter to the Supreme Court of Heaven? What about interceding for the leaders that you don't like or even resent? When's the last time you even prayed for your government officials? And let me remind you that your prayers will definitely not be heard if you have unconfessed sin in your life. In Psalm 66:18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. And mental attitude sins are some of the worst types of sin. Bitterness, hatred, implacability all quench the Holy Spirit and all limit his ability to intercede for you in your prayers. If the Holy Spirit's not controlling your life, your prayer life's not going to work. Romans 8:26, likewise the Spirit helps our weaknesses, for we don't know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. He intercedes for you in prayer, but if you quench the Spirit and grieve the Spirit with unconfessed sin in your life, it's not going to work. Therefore, Ephesians 4:30, don't grieve the Holy Spirit of God by whom you're sealed to the day of redemption. And that verse is followed by this one. Let all bitterness, all wrath, all anger, all clamor, all evil speaking be put away from you along with all of your malice. Remember, it's not an elected official who can turn around the course of history. It's you. It's only you. It's only you and your spiritual life that can change the course of history. That's why 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I'll hear from heaven and I'll forgive their sin and heal their land. My people, that's you. Are you one of God's children? What does he tell you to do? Humble yourselves. Quit judging people. Quit being arrogant, judging people. Pray. Intercede for them, as the verses I gave you a while ago. And seek my face. Turn out of your wicked ways. You're complaining, you're griping, maligning, criticizing, backbiting. And trust from the Lord, and he will forgive your sin and heal your land. There's only one way to change the course of American history, and that's for you as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ to grow up spiritually, get control of your mouth, get control of your attitude, and glorify the Lord Jesus Christ with what you think. I hope you're listening. I hope you're paying attention. This is a strong message. I hope you're paying attention. I hope you'll come back next week. Same time, same place. Until then, this is your host, Rick Hughes, saying thank you for listening to The Flatline.
Thank you for listening to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. If you'd like to contact Rick, please write to him at P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama, 35054. Or online at www.rickhughesministries.org.
You'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Good morning and welcome to The Flatline. I'm your host, Rick Hughes, and for the next few minutes, please stick around. You know the drill. Short times, just about 30 minutes of motivation. Stick around. Some inspiration,
Jack said,
a whole lot
in the
of education,
intro,
and no
motivation,
inspiration, education,
no con games,
and
not
no
trying to raise money, not trying to sell you anything.
We're not trying to raise.
Just would like to give you some information
you
that will help you verify and identify.
We just
the
want
plan
you
of
to
God
listen.
For your life.
Listen,
if I'm
as
able
I try
to do that,
verify and identify.
And
the
obviously,
plan
as we've said
life,
before,
you
can orient and adjust to the plan.
If you're not a Christian, there's only one.
You're responsible for your own life, your own decisions, your own volition.
He said, I am the way and the truth and the life.
And no man can come to the Father.
He didn't make you a robot. He lets you choose.
It's recorded in the Bible.
The greatest choice you can ever make is what
the Bible says. What think you of Christ?
So that we can be made the righteousness of God.
Have you chosen to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ?
Because that is the most significant.
If not, I hope you'll think about it,
because
he alone paid for your sin. You can't
as in the Bible where the
He
question
paid
was
for
asked, what think you
he
of
went
Christ?
To the cross. He took our place.
What do you think of Christ?
That's why the Bible says he who knew no sin except made sin for us.
That's why you can
so
pray.
We could be made the righteousness of God.
You can simply tell the Father you are believing in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Let me remind
Christ
you of our website, Rick Hughes Ministries.
Don't expect
ORG.
To feel anything. Don't expect
Rick
music.
Hughes
don't expect
Ministries.
To dance out in front of
org. There you can find all
that's
the material.
That's not going to happen, but it's an act of faith.
God said the transcripts of all the past year's shows,
these
the various books we've
so
written,
we might know.
It's all there for your
life.
Resources. It's all free if you'd like to take advantage of it.
Has life.
So don't hesitate to contact us.
So we have a lot of things to offer you
bring
on off
the hook this
a lot of people say,
one of the things I'd like to
I'm listening, and I'm so glad to know that you're
We've been
out
able
there
to transcribe all
to
52 radio shows.
Today we're going to talk about the biblical secret
to
happiness.
The biblical secret to happiness.
Each lesson
you've heard me speak of the cosmic system.
Book.
That's the world.
So
the
each
cosmos.
Book has 52 lessons in it.
It has all kinds of definitions for happiness.
But if you'd like to get it and read
and most
one
of it
today,
is simply pure human viewpoint based on emotional stimulation.
I think you'll
or some sort
going
of pleasurable circumstance.
So our Flatline transcripts,
but regardless
are
of what it is, it's the number one feel-good emotion in America.
We have some upgraded books.
And most
that
people are willing to pay big bucks to experience it.
Christianity and the,
many are looking for something to be passionate about,
life,
something that,
you know,
smooths and calms their nerves.
I'm trying to think.
And something like a happiness switch.
Christianity.
It could be flicked on when things are going from bad to worse. When things really get bad, just throw a switch and you'd be happy.
And
someone once said this, and I'll never forget it, I heard it years ago.
And that's a great book.
Much of our activities are nothing but a cheap anesthetic to deaden the pain of an empty life.
And we have a lot of bookmarks that you can...
Some build spectacular homes in isolated locations. Seeking separation and distance from society is the key to happiness. But the search for happiness goes on and on and on. It's the number one big bookseller in America.
I have to say that.
I mean, even
time,
here you can buy a happy meal if you can afford it.
Or a pastor.
But to many folks, money is the key to happiness.
And he has a website.
So they spend money they don't have to buy things they don't need, to impress people they don't have to
buy.
When the truth is that unhappy people take their unhappiness with them wherever they go.
I'm sure
to some folks, winning the lottery would bring
him
happiness.
And he gets, and it's not
perhaps
for
they could
him.
Get on TV and buy a
okay,
new house
here we go.
For their lottery
ready?
Winnings.
We want
to some,
talk about
money
the
buys security, and security means happiness.
This morning.
One guy
the
even wrote a book on seven strategies for wealth and happiness.
You know, for many years, you've been hearing me tell you about building that
flatline. He's happy every time somebody buys his book.
The flatline, forward.
But does
line
the Bible
of
comment
what
on
the
show
is called
the flatline happy?
And it identifies
the answer is yes, it
problem solving devices taught in the Word.
The unfailing
of God.
Love of God
and
is
we talk
the source
about the flatline
of
built on the accumulation of God's Word. That you
the unfailing
learn,
love of God is the most powerful source of blessing we have.
Soul.
And it provides
the
increasing
term
degrees
for that
of
information learned and stored
for the church age
wisdom
believer.
In the Bible.
The
so when you acquire biblical
God,
wisdom, you build a main line of resistance
from.
In your mentality.
There are several English words used
that's
for happiness
line.
In the Bible.
That main
like
line
joy.
Of resistance stops adversity.
Now joy is
whatever
is
it might be
from
turning
bliss.
Into some sort of stress.
The verb rejoice
is sin,
is
like worry or fear,
expression of a state of
or bitterness or self-pity.
The English word happiness is defined as
so
a state
flat
of
line
well-being,
in your soul's mentality,
characterized by a relative permanent
inner happiness and contentment.
There's a Hebrew word used in the Old Testament
time.
Called eshor.
A flat line is your soul's
blessed.
Mentality.
But in the Greek New
the
Testament, the noun kara,
C-H-A-R-A. In other words, those translated
joy.
Devices, when you learn them
but
and use them,
the Romans and the Greeks
the
were very cynical about
happiness,
and they didn't see it.
In Philippians 4:6, Paul
like
this,
we do
not be anxious
so these
about anything.
Greek words I've given you have a little
but
bit
in everything,
of a different
by prayer and pleading with thanksgiving,
let
your requests be made known to God.
But here's what our Lord
this
used,
mandate, the
word
the Apostle Paul was written to believers in Philippi.
In John 15:11, where he said, these things I told you
before Caesar,
so that my kara, my joy, might remain in you.
But the Greek word
and
for
joy
anxious
is
the
Greek
full.
Word
merimanao.
Psalm 5:11 says, let all those who put their trust in thee rejoice. Let
and
them ever shout
to be
for joy,
by
because
worry.
Thou defendest them.
Or don't be troubled.
Let them also which that love thy name be joyful in thee.
Fears.
There's
that
all the mandates
written
to
in
have
the
happiness
mood,
that the Lord Jesus Christ is teaching about in
the imperative mood.
Means
that verse
this is an apostle
directive.
The verse
an
I just quoted
command.
To you, let all those who put their
so
trust in thee rejoice.
To worry,
let them ever shout for joy because you defend them.
Definitely a failure to
you defend
the
them. That's a verse. A divine guarantee of the guardianship of Almighty God
leads.
Even in the midst of the most
sins.
Dire circumstances.
When you do not use faith rest,
the evangelist Billy Graham once said this,
when
this is the happiness which brings enduring
stress-related sins of worry.
It's not the superficial
happiness that depends
on circumstances.
You your inner happiness.
But rather the happiness
and the
contentment that fills the soul.
Attitude. Thus you can
even
see
in the middle of distressing
why so important
of
you
circumstances,
have a flatline in
the
your
most
soul.
Distressing circumstances,
that flatline in your
and
soul.
The most bitter environment.
Be anxious for nothing.
There's another Greek word called makarios.
And that pretty well covers
all
the bases.
Found in the plural makaroi.
The mature believer is not to be
translated
happiness
or blessed.
He's not to be sidetracked.
Again, that word used for translation
is not
really
sidetracked by biblical
politics, doctrine
anxious
of happiness.
For nothing. Everything is
there's
covered
a noun
out there.
Called autarkes.
But on the contrary, Paul tells us we can take all these matters
to be self-sufficient
before the Supreme Court of Heaven.
And it actually describes the happiness of the spiritually
mature
person.
He says this.
Remember, you have to go
nothing,
from spiritual infant to spiritual adult. So we start out with spiritual
prayer,
self-esteem, spiritual autonomy, spiritual
deasis, deasis by
it's
prayer,
the verb archeo in the active
this
voice.
Means
it means
to
be
go
sufficient,
to God alone, and
therefore
no
to be
else.
Self-sufficient. You can use
this
your
comes
priesthood.
Really closer to describing
you are
what true biblical
happiness
you can go
really
directly
is.
To God's throne
and what
of
happens
grace
to us when we learn and execute God's plan.
But I remind
in the passive
you,
voice of archeo, this verb means
Spirit.
To be satisfied.
If you have
content,
unconfessed sin in your life,
and it refers to an expression of happiness related
you.
To your autonomy.
So Romans 8:26 verifies
that. It seems we carry
says,
this entrenched notion that
also
some set of
weaknesses.
Circumstances or something
we know
or
not
some
what
people
we
can make us
we ought to.
But happiness
but the
is
Spirit
not something that
makes
is made or manufactured
for us,
by us.
Groanings which cannot be
so
uttered.
We can never confuse
how
happiness
can he
as taught in the Word of God
if he's quenched and
with the various stimuli
life,
of life which are enjoyable for a moment,
sin,
but have no ability to sustain us day to day.
So be anxious for nothing
happiness,
but by prayer and supplication,
my stimuli
and
of life,
with thanksgiving.
9:11. Not for evil, but to give you a future and a hope. So remember that. I know the plans I have for you. God has plans for you. And God has plans for our client nation. Do you believe that? And can you trust that the Supreme Court of Heaven is judging our future? Can you do that? Can you trust in the Lord? Proverbs 3, 5 through 6. Can you trust in the Lord? It's critical that you do that. It's critical that you remember that. Proverbs 3, 5 through 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And do not lean to your own understanding. Acknowledge him, and that requires you to use a faith rest drill, and that's the key to having a relaxed mental attitude. The faith rest drill, problem-solving device number 3, do you know what it is? Do you even know any of the 10 problem-solving devices? If you don't, please contact me. I can send you a book called Christian Problem Solving that'll lay all 10 of them out. I can send you a bookmark. It'll have all 10 problem-solving devices on it. But you must understand these 10 problem-solving devices if you intend to live a successful Christian life. You can't do it without them. Because without them, you'll be trying to function on human energy and human resources, and it doesn't work. So trust in the Lord, Proverbs 3, 5 through 6. Don't lean to your own understanding. Acknowledge him, and that requires you to use a faith rest drill. And that's the key to keeping that relaxed mental attitude. What is a relaxed mental attitude? Well, very plainly, Isaiah 26:3, you keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. You keep him in perfect peace whose mind, that's your thoughts, your intents, your desires, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. That's faith, faith rest drill. So the perfect peace that we're talking about comes when you concentrate on the plan of God and trust God that he's in control. He knows the plans he has for you, and they're not to hurt you, not to harm you, but to give you a wonderful life. So sit back. Enjoy the show. Isaiah 40, verse 31, but they who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. They shall do what? They shall mount up with wings like eagles and shall run and never be weary and walk and not faint. Amazing promise for you. In regards to current politics in America, do you think God knows what's even going on? Do you think he's not in control of coming events? Our job as Christians is simply to obey the Lord. Romans 12:12, rejoice in hope. I'm your host, Rick Hughes, and for the next 30 minutes, stick around. It's a short time of motivation, some inspiration, a whole lot of education, and absolutely no manipulation. No begging for money, not trying to sell you anything. We're not going to ask you to join up or fess up. We just would like for you to listen. Listen as I try to identify the plan of God for your life. If I can do that, then you can orient and adjust to the plan if you'd like to do so. But thank you for listening to The Flatline. We're going on show 902 this morning. That's 902 Sundays across America we've been giving this Flatline show. All trusting the Lord to provide our needs, and he always had. He's never failed us yet. And you may notice the unique thing about this show is we don't ask for money, we don't solicit money, we don't sell things. We depend on the grace of God. And by the way, last week we talked about letting go of the past. Our book, Practicing in Christianity, has a lot to do with that, one of the new prints we've done. So if you'd like to get a copy of Practicing in Christianity, contact us through the website, rickhughesministries.org. Don't make the mistake so many people make of going to richardhughesministries.org. That is not me. It's rickhughesministries.org. And we'll be glad to send you any of our books that we have available, Practicing in Christianity, Crash Course in Christianity, Life's Toughest Years, The Divine Pardon, or any of the transcripts of all the radio shows we've done since 2018. We put those in book form for you. So I hope you enjoy it, and I hope you enjoy the information we make available to you. Now, if you've been listening to our show for any length of time, you've heard me mention Faith Rest Drill. You know, our show is predicated on building a flot line in your soul. That stands for Forward Line of Troops. 10 unique problem-solving devices taught to me by my pastor years ago, which I reteach to you every time I get the opportunity. But on the problem-solving device number 2 for the believer, we deal with, or number 3, I mean, we deal with the Faith Rest Drill, standing on the promises of faith. Problem-solving device number 3. I want to take a little bit of an in-depth look at this amazing provision from God this morning and hopefully motivate you to use the Faith Rest Drill. Now, first of all, we know that our salvation is secured by faith. In Romans chapter 5, verse 1, therefore, having been justified by faith, not by works, justified by faith, we have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ, or by means of the Lord Jesus Christ. So our justification doesn't come by being good, doesn't come by not sinning, doesn't come by being baptized, doesn't come by giving money. It comes by being justified by faith. Faith alone in Christ alone. Faith alone in the finished work of Christ on the cross. That's how we get to heaven. We believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. In eternity past, the angels of God were faced with the same choice, follow Satan or follow God. And through personal faith in Christ, mankind, you and I, we duplicate the decision that the elect angels made in eternity past when they decided not to go with Satan, but to go with God. You know, a third of the angels did go with Satan. A third of the angels followed him, and they were cast out of heaven along with Satan, and they are what we call today demons. Those are fallen angels. So, but whenever salvation through faith in Christ is rejected, then the sovereignty and the justice of God has the right to condemn us and the right to judge us. So don't reject the forgiveness that Jesus Christ offers on the cross for you. He took your place. He died in your place. He paid for your sin, past, present, and future, and not only for yours, but for the sins of the whole world. And when we reject the free gift of salvation, then God has to condemn us according to his justice. So the imputation of divine righteousness at salvation, God gives us his righteousness, it comes through faith in Christ. He who knew no sin was made sin for us so that we may be made the righteousness of God by means of him, the Bible says. When we believe in Christ, it results in instant justification because we become the objects of God's personal love, because we now possess his very own righteousness. And that's the basis for God then pouring out into your life all sorts of logistical grace blessings. So this is called saving faith. And at one time or another in your life, you must make this decision, either for or against God and God's plan. Now let's look at faith in your logistical grace provisions for everyday living. In Matthew 6, 25 through 34, I'm going to read a lengthy verse for you, but stick around and listen to it for a minute. Therefore, Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? So which of you, by worrying, can add one day to your life? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, and yet I say to you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. So if God can clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Short-time trusters, little faith, short-time trusters. Therefore, don't worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, but your heavenly Father knows that you need all of these things. So if you will seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow. For tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own troubles. So this passage started off with a divine mandate. Not a request, it's a mandate. Do not worry. The Greek word merimenao simply means this, merimenao. It means this, don't be anxious or don't be troubled. And it is what we call in the morphology of the Greek text a present active imperative verb. The present tense means that this is a durative present. There's never a time in your life when you're not to worry. And there never is a time in your life when you are to worry. I mean, you're not supposed to ever worry. And the active voice says the subject, which is you and I, we produce the action of the verb, and it's an imperative mood verb, meaning a command from the Lord Jesus Christ during the Sermon on the Mount. And it applies to us as well as God's royal family. Everybody, we are never to doubt, we're never to worry, we're never to fear concerning logistical grace provisions, what we wear, what we eat, what we have available for life. So again, the mandate is repeated in verse 31. Do not worry. And don't worry about food. Don't worry about shelter. Don't worry about clothing. Don't worry. I hear from friends sometimes that will call me and say they're having financial difficulty and they want prayer for their financial difficulty. And they're worried about they're not going to be able to make it. This is where your faith comes in. Your Father promised He will provide for you. He's not going to hang you out to dry. Your priority has to be in verse 33. You seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and then all these other things will be added to you. Seek first, another present active imperative of zeteo, the Greek word zeteo, and it means to seek after, to crave, to desire. You want to crave something? You want to worry about something? Seek this first. Seek God's kingdom. Don't worry about saying what we're going to do this. Seek your Heavenly Father's kingdom. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Now we have a contrast in commands. Don't be anxious, but rather replace that with a desire to have confidence in God's kingdom, which is your salvation, and in His righteousness, which is the righteousness of Christ imputed to you at the moment you believe in Him. Hebrews 1:8 says, but speaking of the Son of God, He, that's God the Father, says, your throne, O Lord Jesus Christ, is forever and ever, and righteousness will be the scepter of your kingdom. In His kingdom, we know that'll happen at the second advent when He sets up the millennial kingdom, and then eventually the eternal kingdom. So we currently live in the kingdom of Satan. Don't mistake that. We live in the kingdom of darkness and sin. But at the second advent, Satan will be imprisoned for 1,000 years, and his kingdom will come to an end. So throughout the tribulation, the gospel, the tribulation, the seven years that after we leave at the rapture of the church, you have 7 more years of the Jewish timetable. Throughout that tribulation, the gospel will be proclaimed as never before in human history, like a warning to things that will come in the last half of the tribulation. Matthew 24:14, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in the whole inhabited earth. That's the 1,000-year reign of Christ. It'll be preached in the whole inhabited earth for a witness to all nations. And then the end will come. Therefore, the unbeliever will be without excuse. That's the baptism of fire, which I haven't spoken to you about before. But just as believers are taken off at the rapture of the church, unbelievers are removed at the beginning of the millennium through the baptism of fire. So keep that in mind. Principle, you cannot participate in the kingdom without having made equal righteousness on your behalf. Until you have equal righteousness with God, you will not participate in the kingdom. In 2 Corinthians 5:21, He made Him who knew no sin to become sin for us so that we could become the righteousness of God in Him. There's equal righteousness. Once you believe in Christ, His righteousness is accredited to you and you have equal righteousness. So you and I, we handle the adversity we face in the devil's world every day if we use the faith rest drill, problem-solving device number 3. Remember what the Bible says in Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that He is and that He is a rewarder of anyone who seeks Him diligently, those who seek Him diligently. So that word faith, pistis, P-I-S-T-I-S, it's a non-meritorious system of perception based on the confidence in the authority and the veracity of God, not you, not your neighbor, not your friend, not your preacher, God. So faith is not based on one's own knowledge, as is some sort of rationalism or empiricism, you know, rational data, empirical data. That faith is pisticism, pistis. It's trust in God's word. The Greek word pistis. The Greek word pistis has a verb counterpart called pistuo, and that's the word believe. So faith is pistis, and pistuo is believe. The verb pistuo means to believe, to trust in something, to trust in someone, to use someone as an object of your faith. It only takes a little more than no faith at all for a person to be saved. That's why Paul told the Roman jailer when he was set free, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. You have to understand that. I don't know how much faith you have. I don't know how much faith you think you have, but faith is related to the Scripture. The more of the Word of God you know, the more the resources of faith you have. There are over 7,000 promises in the Bible that you can claim. Over 7,000 promises you can use. We've put a few of them in a book. We have a book of promises and principles that we make available free of charge. And it deals with certain situations in your life and promises you can claim. But that's where faith comes from. It comes from believing the Word of God. In Galatians 2:16, the Bible clearly says, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. So even if we had believed in Christ Jesus, that we might be justified by faith in Christ, and not by the works of the law. For if by the works of the law, then no flesh would ever be justified. I mean, the Old Testament says there are none that are righteous, no, not one. All of our righteousnesses are like a filthy rag in God's eyes. In spite of what you may think, you cannot conjure up your own righteousness. Your membership in a church, your giving, whatever you think is going to do it, won't do it, because you're infected with a genetically formed sin nature. And until you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and become a member of the royal family of God, you will have no righteousness ever, because it's only through Christ that that righteousness comes. A description of faith is found in the Bible in 2 Corinthians 4:18. Listen carefully. We look not at the things which are seen, but at things which are not seen, like the essence of God, His sovereignty, His righteousness, His justice, His love, His immutability, His veracity, His omnipotence, His omniscience, His omnipresence. We look at these things. They're not seen. For the things that are seen are but temporal, but things which are not seen are eternal. The eternal promises of God may not be seen, but they're there. And faith is you living by those promises, believing those promises, and committing yourself to the trust and care of God, who promised in Matthew 6, He would not abandon you, He would not let you do without, He will provide your needs. Sometimes both the faith rest drill and the Word of God or Bible doctrine are described in the meaning of pistis, as in 2 Corinthians 5:7, where it says, we walk by faith and not by sight. We walk by faith and not by sight. So your eyes are in your soul, and your soul must have the Word of God to see the unseen. Remember, your soul has mentality, volition, a consciousness, a self-consciousness. In the mentality of your soul is where you store that Word of God. You listen to your pastor, you learn it, you apply it, and you live by it in your life. And that's how you develop your faith. You have faith in things that are real, things that you might not see, but you believe in them. It's in your soul. You've learned it, you've applied it, and you live like this. Unseen faith because of the Word of God in your life. So let me ask you a question. What is the object of your faith this morning? What is it? Oh, I know, it's the government. Oh, if I can just get the right president elected, things are going to go good. Wrong. The Bible says, cursed is the man that trusteth in man. Oh, I know, if I could just find the right scientist to tell me how to cure this disease, and everybody would be okay. Wrong. Oh, I know, if I can just be healthy and take enough vitamins and work out enough and run enough and have strength, I can live. Wrong. The object of faith always has the merit, and there is no merit in the subject. That's you, because faith is non-merit.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.